Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on this, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. My name is Guy Ramey, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to our God. We hope you feel as if you are here with us in person, and we certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our order of worship is Divine Service 2 on page 158 of Lutheran Worship. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, Hark the Voice of Jesus Calling, hymn 318 in Lutheran Worship.
Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be with you this morning for worship It's the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, and we are going to be following the order of service as it's printed before you in your worship bulletin. It's the beginning of September now, so we're back to the full liturgy. We kind of cut back and condensed a little bit over the summer, but we're back to the full liturgy, as you'll see in the worship bulletin. So that's really the only change that you'll see this morning. We'll continue now with the confession and the absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Direct us, O Lord God, in all our doings with your continual help, that in all of our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name. And finally, by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please have a seat.
Join us now as we sing our family hymn, Blessed Assurance.
blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst at my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest, I in my Savior and happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
The lector this morning is Sue Bloom. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Sue.
First reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will be certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in responsive reading of Psalm 1 as it's printed in your worship bulletin.
Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
Second reading is from Philemon, verses 1 through 21. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the people, the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel, but I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separating from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke, the 14th chapter, verses 25 through 33. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard God's word, we confess our faith together now in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please have a seat.
Please join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, All Depends on Our Possessing, hymn number 415 in Lutheran Worship.
Thank you.
This is your hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, exactly 1300 on your AM dial. Radio WXRL.
So I have a little disclaimer. I have no idea how this is going to turn out. Helena Geisen sent me a text message about 7 o'clock this morning, and she asked, before you preach this morning, can you take a few moments with the congregation to read to them the portals of prayer that was assigned for today? And so I said, sure, of course, I'll do that. Well, the sermon that I prepared for you goes out the window after I read that portal. So we're going to use the portal of prayer as our basis this morning for conversation. And the portal kind of starts out and suggests that we read together Psalm 57. So I'm going to ask you to open up the Pew Bible, and if you would, turn with me to Psalm 57. Like I said, I have no idea how this is going to turn out, but we're going to let the Word be our guide, let the Spirit be our guide as we kind of talk this morning. Psalm 57, and I will read it for you. Have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to the God Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who wholly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and I will make music. Awake, my soul, awake. Harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over the earth. And then if you would, turn with me to Colossians. And I got to just refer back to the portals here real quick. I'm sorry, not Colossians, it's Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. And that's going to be on page 1178. 1178. And I'm going to read for you Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that come through Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambitions, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provisions of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now and always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And the portal reads, "Yes, and I will rejoice." Paul was in prison, and yet he rejoiced. He was just one of those everything fine sort of fellows who puts on an ear-to-ear grin to convince himself. How can he be so happy? Sometimes we confuse happiness with joy. Paul was not necessarily happy, but he was certainly filled with joy. His rejoicing has much to teach us. We may not have reason for happiness, but there is always reason for rejoicing. In prison, Paul rejoiced that God's word was being proclaimed. Even in prison, he was able to share the good news of Jesus. Many would hear the gospel by Paul's presence there. He pointed out that even those preachers who preach from false pretenses still proclaim Jesus. Either way, God's word is being proclaimed, and he's at work through that word. This was Paul's reason for rejoicing. You may find it hard to find happiness, but look to Paul's example. God's word has come to you and to me, and it frees us from the prison of our sin and I'm going to add some of the circumstances of life. Rejoice. His word is still being proclaimed and setting hearts free. Rejoice. God's word isn't bound, and neither are we. Rejoice. If the Spirit doesn't have a way of working, say, I was all set to talk to you this morning about that gospel reading that talks about if you don't hate your mom and your dad and your kid. Well, boy, let me tell you what I felt when I read that this week. So thanks, Elena. I know you're going to be listening in just a little while. But also being honest with each other today, there's a pink elephant in the room, isn't there? Something is missing. Something very significant to our lives is missing this morning. I walked in this morning, and for 11 years, under most normal circumstances, the first people to greet me on a Sunday morning were John and Millie Sietsma. 8 o'clock, on the dot, guaranteed. And if it was 2 minutes after 8, you wondered, because they were prompt and they were here. And as you pulled up this morning, Art, I realized that the chains weren't down. That's John's job. We gave them off today. but he better be back next week. But that's John. John took the chains down, and as soon as John got out to take the chains down, Millie was up the stairs and getting coffee and all that good stuff ready. And then when she was finished up with coffee, she was sure to greet you at the door, wasn't she? That's where she stood. Millie, as I understand, came to this congregation. Selena shared with me probably 1959, 1960, somewhere around there. And since then, Millie has been a pillar in this community, much like every one of you. Millie served in numerous ministry capacities here at St. John's. I believe she was the first elder, our first woman elder in our congregation. She's been a greeter, Coffee Ann, Altar Gill. First woman, I think, that attended the Bethel Bible series here back when, I don't know if it was Pastor Erickson or Pastor Blackwell did that. She was a teacher. She was a faithful servant. As I found myself pondering and thinking about Millie's life, I often said, I remember going back to the presentation that we did for Millie with the baptismal napkins, and oh, that's a part we can't forget either, is it? For years and years and years and years and years, Millie made those baptismal napkins. It's amazing to think about how many children have those napkins in their homes and are reminded of what baptism means. The elephant is in the room today. And if you're anything like me, you found it hard to find happiness when you walked in the building today. There's a certain emptiness. And there's been a certain emptiness a number of times this year and, of course, in years past. I'll be honest with you, this has been an unbelievably difficult year. We've lost. Not lost, that's wrong. We didn't lose them, we know where they are. We've had a number of folks from our congregation, pillars, people who shaped this congregation this year, transfer their membership. Sometimes life has us feeling heavy, doesn't it? Sometimes, as we find ourselves in the circumstances of life, it is hard to be happy. But today's words from Paul, the psalmist, the reflection in the portals of prayer reminds you and me that while it might be hard, and while grief is so, so real for you and me, we have reason to rejoice. And I think that's what Millie and all of those saints would want us to hear, wouldn't they? Rejoice. The gospel is real. The gospel is true. We preach Christ crucified. We too preach Christ risen from the dead. And because he lives, we too, who receive his gift of forgiveness and life by way of our baptism, we live too. In Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us there is nothing at all that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, not even death. And so let me be the first one to tell you today, as we come into this place on the Sabbath, on this day when we come to hear God's word and his promises, on this day when we come to hear the gospel, the good news of Christ Jesus who is proclaimed in this place, let me say to you for the first time today, let me be the first one to tell you, Millie is more alive than she has ever been. Pam reminded me a couple weeks ago, Millie's right there in front of you, arm guard, right? That's it. It's amazing how you can identify pews and where people sit. Right there. And I can't remember the content of the sermon that I did that day, but I asked a question, what's your biggest wish or something like that? You remember Millie's response? I want to go home. She's home, folks. She's home. She's in that most beautiful place that God prepared for her. The very place that God promised her in holy baptism in March of 1928. Mansion. A mansion prepared just for her. A place of great rejoicing. No more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrow. Just rejoicing. Mourning turned to dancing for her. And while it might be hard for us to find happiness today, because of the circumstances that surround today, the Spirit has led you and me to the place where we know to find joy. To our Lord, our Jesus. And it's remarkable to think right now in these moments that God unites us with Millie and all of the saints. And that as you and I raise our voices to sing those praises to Him, we too join with them. As hard as it is, today we rejoice. We rejoice for Millie's new life. We're going to miss her deeply, just like we miss all of those saints. As the cloud of witnesses flash before our eyes, all of those dear people that God gifted us with, all of those people from this place that shaped this congregation, that still today makes St. John's the place that it is. We miss them, and we will. And it'll take time for us to get used to things. But God, who's in our midst, is constantly working life. He did it for Millie, and He'll do it for you and for me. And there, folks, as our hearts are filled with joy, our hearts are filled with hope, too. A hope for tomorrow. And a hope in what's to come, and a hope in the grand reunion that will be ours too. When we see Millie, all the saints, and best of all, our Jesus face to face. A couple of weeks ago, I preached at Carol Ladragna's funeral, and I started Carol's funeral sermon out with a little story. And I want to just close with that for you today. I told you I had no idea where this was going to go, but I did know that I wanted to share this with you. Some of you who are here at Carol's funeral maybe remember it. If not, let me read it for you. There once was this man, and his name was Larry. Now, Larry was in his 30s, and he was near death from cancer. Larry was a man of deep, deep faith, and he was very active in his church. Now, as you can imagine, the pastor His pastor would make regular visits to his home because Larry was just too weak to come to church. Well, on one particular visit, Larry began to share some deep thoughts with his pastor. "Even if I have a short time to live," Larry said, "God has given me a great, great hope. You know, sometimes life throws some tremendous curves, but death has lost its sting. You see, in his struggle with cancer, Larry learned a whole lot about weakness. But he also learned something very profound. He said, at the point in our life, in our lives, when maybe we feel the weakest, the heaviest, he said, by God's grace, we're actually the strongest we've ever been. Well, as the conversation continued, Larry and his pastor started to talk about his funeral, which, as it would turn out, was 1 month later. Now, one thing that Larry made clear is that Larry wanted a lot of singing at his funeral. You see, Larry loved to sing. He didn't have the best voice, but he loved the old hymns and how he would sing those old hymns with such a bold gusto. You see, Larry said, the only thing that I want people to think about on that day is joy. And as he said this, he raised his hands to offer a slow and triumphant clap. "When I pass into God's kingdom," he said, "I envision this spectacular light, this spectacular feeling of being able to just let go. I felt a lot of grief for my children, my wife, my family, even myself as I've faced this illness. But I've had to get over it. And once I got past that, I knew God was with me. And as long as God is in our midst, there's always a spirit of joyfulness," he said. "That day is going to be a happy one for me. No more grief. No more pain. No more crying. A great day of rejoicing with the heavenly chorus." Today, we rejoice. Today, we sing. Sing praises to our God for Millie's life, for her example, a Mary and a Martha all in one, for her legacy. But today, more than anything, we rejoice in her new life. And we raise the roof in this place, knowing that we join her in singing praises to our God. Bless your hearts, my dear friends. God is with us. As long as he's with us, we can rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
okay in it now. I think I did that one of the first, I'd done the first week of the night.
Yeah, and we only have to do that if we find that we have like 5 minutes left over.
Okay, if pastor's talking and stuff like that, we kill his mic and then just do it.
Yes.
Okay, following the benediction. So we're done to the benediction.
Sing loud. In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please also say a special word of prayer for Walter Kniedel. We've been praying for Walter a number of times over the last couple of months. The Kniedel family goes back a long, long time in the history of our congregation, but Walter experienced a stroke this past week and is currently hospitalized, so please keep Walter Kniedel in your prayers. And of course, we do say special prayers for the Sietsma family as they mourn the passing of Millie this past Thursday. Prayers go out especially for John and, of course, their 5 daughters. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you and we praise you for this most beautiful day that you've given to us, this Sabbath day where your blessings are showered upon us once again as we hear your word, as we hear your promises, as we're filled with only a peace that you can bring to our hearts and our minds, as we're filled with hope and life. Lord, there's so much that pulls for the number one spot in our lives. Your gospel reminds us today that we're to put you in that number one spot. It isn't always easy for us to do that. We're tempted. We're pulled, we're pressured, we're influenced. But Lord, we know through faith that when you're in that number one spot, our lives then begin to be shaped by you, your love, your presence. Our relationships are filled and overflowing. Lord, empower us to be a people who put you number one. A people who take time out to carve sacred space for you, to hear your word each day, to raise our prayers to you confidently knowing that you hear those prayers and answer in the way that you know is best for us. Lord, today for many of us in this place, it's hard to find happiness as grief fills us. But how joy is ours even in the midst of our grief. Lord, we pray that you would continue to strengthen us with hope and peace. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to help us to be a people who fix our eyes on Christ Jesus and there find life. Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians that we are a people who don't grieve as though we have no hope. We do have hope. Hope for today, hope for tomorrow, hope forever.
10 seconds.
We pray your blessings upon John Sietsma, the rest of the family. that their hearts might be comforted, especially in these moments, especially this afternoon, that they might hear loud and clear Christ crucified.
Read out, Pastor.
And that might fill their cup overflowing, even though they're walking through the valley.
Okay, here goes.
Lord, we pray for all the needs, the people of this congregation. We ask your blessings upon whatever needs that might be present in their lives. We pray this morning for Walter as he recovers from his stroke. We pray for the doctors and the nurses who are entrusted to his care that they might be given wisdom. We pray for all of those who are printed in our worship bulletin, our friends, our family members, and anybody else that we name before you in our hearts.
Sit right on this or go on.
Finally, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us to be a people who share your presence among one another. We might be a people who build up and point one another to your love which abounds, your love which changes everything. Help us to extend to one another the hospitality and the love that you shared with us, that this community might be transformed over and over and over again. All these things and so many other things we pray to you in the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Amen. We pray now as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lois, can we sing that one? 179. 179.
Rejoice.
Thrice again I say, rejoice. Our Savior Jesus reigns, the God of truth and love. When he has purged our stains, he took his seat above. Lift up your hearts, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. His kingdom cannot fail, he rules o'er earth and heaven. The keys of death and hell are to our Jesus give. Lift up your hearts, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. He sits at God's right hand till all his foes submit and bow to his commands and fall beneath his feet. Lift up your hearts, lift up your hearts, a voice again, I say, rejoice.
Doesn't get any better than that, folks. Have a seat for a quick moment. Good morning to you again. So I'm gonna spare you of announcements, because I want the last thing for you to hear is the last thing I want you to hear this morning is that word rejoice. Rejoice today, rejoice every day. The Lord's presence is with us. His strength is ours. Our hope is in him and no one else. And there's another reason why I'm going to spare you the announcements, because Millie's ringing in my ear, and when I would go off on tangents on Sunday morning, she would refer to it as the second sermon. So I'm not going to give you a second sermon this morning. That one's for you, Millie. But anyway, rejoice, my friends. Anything that you need to know in terms of announcements is right there in your worship bulletin or in the journal. The only thing that I do want to let you know is Millie's funeral service will be here this afternoon at 2 o'clock. And I think that there's good reason why Millie had it on a Sunday. This is where we need to be on a Sunday. This is the place where Christ is proclaimed. I can't help but to think that maybe there was a little bit of, you know, it's the first Bills game today. Yeah, but maybe that's kind of an indirect way of saying you don't need to be in front of the dummy box. You need to be in church today. You know, but if you can be here today at 2 o'clock for Millie's funeral service, that would be remarkable of you. We want to celebrate her life and give thanks to God for her. And I know the family would be deeply appreciative of your presence here. So if you can carve out a little time this afternoon for Millie's service, that would be great. Like I said, the service is at 2 o'clock. And then we'll follow the service downstairs. She insisted that we don't do a funeral brunch. Now, that's the irony of it all, too, because she kind of coordinated the funeral brunches for years and years and years. But anyway, it's going to be kind of a coffee and downstairs, which is very, very fitting. But if I can just say this one thing. Sorry, you are getting a second sermon. If I can say this one thing, I think there was a little bit of thought that went into that too. And I know at first when we found out that Millie didn't want to have a funeral brunch, I think there was a little bit of upset for us. Since, you know, we should do that for the family. My goodness, Millie's been doing this for years and years and years. But I think there was good reason for that. You see, I mentioned to you that Millie was a Mary and a Martha all in one, right? If you remember Mary and Martha, one sister was in the kitchen cooking and taking care of business, and the other sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I think that Millie in her faith-based wisdom, didn't want her friends from the kitchen to be consumed with work in the kitchen. But she saw the importance of you sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word, and being filled with the same hope that filled her every single day. And so, no brunch for Millie, but we're going to feast on God's word. We're going to sit at the feet of Jesus this afternoon and be filled, and we will. See you at 2:00. Rejoice. Go in peace, serve the Lord.